Okay, we're going to start on page 684. The last line of the page, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Pasuk 21. The story up to now, we learned the Torah speaks about the Yomim Tevim, the Chagim, and the Torah speaks about that on the second day of Pesach, you cut the Omer, the barley, and you bring it, to, you wave it, you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Torah is speaking about Usfartom Lacham Mimochas HaShabbos, the concept of counting the Omer. Okay?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. I'm sorry, we're going to go back, because we didn't, what?
What is the concept of waving?
Bathing?
Waving.
Waving. That shows Hashem's in all directions. When they waved those things, it was up, down, north, northwest, south, east, up and down. So it showed that Hashem's power is in all directions.
Like the lulav?
Yeah, similar to the concept of the lulav, yeah. Okay, before, we're going to start Pasuk 21, okay? But before we go there, just to recap what we were learning. Last week we learned there's Pesach, there's Sfiras HaOmer, and there's Shavuos. And last week we discussed that Shavuos really has no designated time during the year. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah the date of Shavuot. Is the only Yom Tif that the Torah doesn't say the date. The Torah just says, you have Pesach, count 49 days, the 50th day is Shavuot, and that's it. We discussed, and we're not done yet, but we discussed why Shavuot doesn't have a unique day, because every day Hashem is giving the Torah to the Jewish people. Just like the Klei Yoker explains, nowhere does the Torah speak that Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment. It's very interesting. There's two Yom Tov of the year that we're at the bottom of 684. The last Pasuk Chaval, but we're not there yet. We're still. There's two Yom Tov of the year that the Torah doesn't say the reason of them. One is like here, it says Shavuos. The Torah does not say anything about Matan Torah. And we said sometimes Shavuos is not even Matan Torah. Even today, we say we cross the date line and all that. Another Yom Tov, the Klei Yoker says, another interesting thing, nowhere in the Chumash does it speak about Rosh Hashanah as the day of Yom HaDin. Nowhere does it say in the Torah that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, the day of judgment. The Torah just says, on the first day of Tishrei, blow Shofar, and then they're finished. The Torah doesn't say anything about, it's the day when everybody is judged. In Tefillah, in Davening, we speak about Rosh Hashanah Yom HaDin and so on and so forth. And he says, why is this? So Matan Torah, he says what we explained last week, because Hashem wants to know every day is giving the Torah. Every day is a day that Hashem, a Jew has to receive the Torah. B'chol yom yiyah b'necha chadoshim. Like we say, Asher anochi mitzavcha hayem. And this we didn't explain, we didn't have enough time last week to explain this concept. We say in Davening, from the Chumash, I'm commanding you today. Many times in Psukim and Torah, it speaks to you today. You know, today. So Rashi quotes, every day Torah has to be like new. Because we know that when you have something new, you're all excited about it. When it becomes old, you get bored with it. And you see this very clear, when a kid becomes bar mitzvah, you know, the first time they put on tefillin, they're all excited and whoa, they can't wait. And then sometimes after a few weeks, sometimes a few months, a few years, it's like boring already. So Rashi says in Chumash, what does it mean, Ashanechem mitzavcha hayim, that when a person has something new, they're excited about it. So Hashem says, a Jew needs to be excited about Torah as if I'm giving it to you today. Therefore, the Klei Yoker says, there's no day of the year designated for Matan Torah. I mean, we call it Shavuos, but in Chumash it doesn't say anything about Shavuos, Matan Torah. In fact, clearly in Chumash it doesn't even say when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people. Pesach, You look in Chumash, it says, on the 15th day of Nisan, Hashem took you out of Egypt. Nowhere in Chumash does it say when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jews. Therefore, in the Gemara, the Chachamim hold the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan. Rabbi Yehesi holds Torah was given on the 7th day of Sivan. There's even a Machlekes when Torah was given. Why did the Torah hide it? So the answer is because the Jew has to feel Torah is given every day. The question is, though, it was still given 3,500 years ago. I mean, Torah can teach Talu, okay, every day you have to feel as if Torah is brand new. But the bottom line is, it's not brand new. We got it 3,500 years ago. How can the Torah make us feel as if it's brand new? And it's not easy, by the way. But the answer is, because the Jew, in essence, is not bound by time. The neshama is higher than time. So when you reveal the neshama of the person, you actually could feel the Torah is brand new. Because if it's above time, there's no such thing as past, present, or future. Past and future, it's all the same thing. So when a Jew actually connects himself to Hashem, who's above time and place, then it's actually physically able to be connected to above time and place, and therefore Torah could be new. The same thing we find, he says, at Rosh Hashanah. Now Rosh Hashanah, it says in the Chumash when it is, on the 1st of Tishrei, but the Torah doesn't say anything about Yom HaDin. All the Torah says about Rosh Hashanah is, blow shofar. That's it. That's all the Torah says. And in fact, we're going to learn it soon, the next passage. Zichrin Terua. You know, blow shofar, that's it. I mean, the commotion of Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin, with judges and everything. So why doesn't it say when Hashem judges us? Because a person needs to feel, as the Gemara in fact says, Adam nidun b'chol yom. Person is judged every day. In fact, there's a famous contradiction that the Gemara talks about. One Gemara says that we're judged on Rosh Hashanah. But it says, Mizaynesev shel Adam ksuvim le mir Rosh Hashanah. Which means, how much food we're going to have for the year, meaning how much parnasa we're going to have for the year, is judged and given on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara asks, but another Gemara says, Adam nidun b'chol yom. A person is judged every day. So what is it? Is it Rosh Hashanah, or is it every day? So the basic answer, which Chassidus explains, and even the Mefarshim of the Gemara explain, is, and to give monetary examples, we'll understand it. Let's say on Rosh Hashanah, it's destined that the person is going to make, let's say, 100,000 for the year. Okay? So that's already judged on Rosh Hashanah. But the question is, how is the money going to come down every day? What does this mean? Hashem could say, listen, I'm giving you 100,000 for the year, but you might end up spending 50,000 on medical bills. Or a leaky roof. But there's another person, Thursday morning, she has the copyright and saying Chas V'Shalom. When I say these things, you can't mix and turn. She's one woman comes Thursday morning, I'm not going to say any names. She has a copyright and Chas V'Shalom, so whatever. So let's say Hashem could say, you're going to get $100,000 a year in Rosh Hashanah, that's fine. But now the question, how is it going to come down? Is it going to come down in vacation time? Or is it going to come down in medical or in roof bills? There was he passed away at over 100. There was a chassid, he wrote a book, Sabotu, the Blazer Nanas. He used to come to LA every year. He passed away down there. He was many years in hard labor, the Siberian, hard, not the jails we have in America, country clubs. I mean, they had the Siberian, hard labor in Siberia. When he finally came to America, he had a lot of problems with his leg. So he went to a specialist in Manhattan. So the specialist, after the visit, charged him, you know, specialist fees. And he didn't have insurance. He's a Russian Jew. Charged him a terrible amount of money. So he's thinking to himself like this. Should I bargain with him or not? Should I bargain with the doctor or not? You know, old Russian Jew, I pity him, you know. And he thought to himself, no, he's not going to. He's going to pay the doctor the whole thing right away. Why? He said like this. Every year, Hashem already knows how much I'm going to spend on doctor bills. So let's say I need to spend $10,000 on doctor bills. Yeah? So if this guy's charging me, let's say $10,000, and I give him all the money, I'll be done with doctors. If I give him $5,000, and Hashem already destined I have to spend $10,000, I mean, I'm going to get sick again. He said, let me give him all the money now, and then I'll be freed with the doctors. No, it's an interesting perception of this whole thing. So the Gemara says like this, Adam nidam b'chol yom, is how the money is going to come down. Is it going to come down in a good way? Is it going to come down in a negative way? So this is the not. What's, so therefore, we see from here though that really the concept of judging, Hashem doesn't want to say you judged in Rosh Hashanah, which would imply that all the other days there's no judgment. Hashem says, you know what? I'm not telling you when you're judged because you need to understand you are constantly judged. You're constantly judged. Maybe not in the general sense like it is in Rosh Hashanah. But there is a judgment every day of how things are going to be. And that's why he says the Torah doesn't tell us when Shavuos is, because Torah has to be received every day. Noisen HaTeira. We don't say Nosan HaTeira, past tense. Noisen HaTeira means present tense. Hashem gives us the Teira. And the same thing he says with Rosh Hashanah, with Sunri. Okay, Pasuk Chafal, all the way at the end of the page. Grossim Batsim Yem Azeh. You should call in the middle of this day, meaning on this very day, Mikra Kedesh Yelacham, this is the day of Shavuos, by the way. Kom Lachas Aveda Leisasi, you cannot do any work on Shavuos. Chukas Eilam B'chol Meshvei Seichem, this is an eternal decree in all your dwelling places, meaning whether you have the Omer, whether you have a Beis HaMikdash or not, the Yom Tov Shavuos you have to keep, L'Dere Seichem for all your generations. Okay? So far, the Torah spoke about Pesach and Shavuos. Now the Torah is going to stick this pasuk in the middle that we're going to learn, and then the Torah is going to speak about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Okay, but in the middle the Torah sticks in a pasuk, and the Torah says, "Bekutz rechem as ksir artzechem," when you will reap the harvest of your field, meaning you harvest your field. Do not remove the corners of the field completely. What's called the mitzvah of peah. You have to leave the corners of the field. The leket ktircha, and the gleanings of your harvest, which means sometimes when you're cutting, you drop certain things to the floor. So if it's one or two, you have to leave them for the poor person. If you dropped it, you have to leave it for them. You can't pick it up. La'niv la'ger tazer esam, for the poor and the ger, leave them. Ani Hashem alekecha my magad yugad. So right away Rashi asks, like, how does this pussy get in here? I mean, you know, it's all about Pesach and Shavuos, and it's all about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and the middle Torah says, don't forget to give payah. So simply the meaning is, I mean, not the reason, but we learned it already. Why does the Torah say it again? To tell you to get two sins if you don't leave it. Because the Torah mentions it a few times. Right? The Torah mentions it a few times to teach every time you do it, it's another negative commandment. I mean, double. But then Rashi quotes from the Avdimi, and he says like this. Why is this in the middle of these two things? So he says, to teach us that a person who gives payah and gives money to the poor is considered as if he kept all the chagim. If you leave the field, the corner of the field, and you know, all that for the poor people, Hashem says, I'm putting it in the middle of the chagim to teach you it's like you kept the whole, all the chagim. Okay, that's.
But he asks us to keep the chagim.
Yeah, but I'm saying, yeah, you can't say, okay, I'll give pay and pay for it.
Yeah, but
they tell a story, a guy after 120 years, a very rich man, but he never gave tzedakah. See, he comes up after 120 years, and he wants to go to Gan Eden. So the Beis Din upstairs says, you can't get to Gan Eden. You're not worthy of it. He said, 1 minute, I'll write a check. You know? So the Heavenly Court says, here we don't take checks, we only take receipts. How much tzedakah you gave, the receipts, that's what gets you into Gan Eden. Here it's too late to give a check. Yeah, it's not enough. But the Gemara says it's considered as if he built a Beis HaMikdash and he brought Korbanis. Okay? In fact, he brings down for the Chassam Sefer, says that why is Shavuos one day? This is the harvest of reaping, of harvesting. So he says, because Hashem says, one day I want you to spend with me, the rest of the day spend with the poor people. That's why it's the time of the harvest. When you harvest, that's when you have to leave the things in the field for the poor people. Hashem said, you know what? One day is enough with me, not like Pesach and Sukkot. The rest of the time spend with the poor people.
So
is there
now,
in Eretz Israel, Shem, yeah, there are certain, yeah. Yeah, they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now, he says like this. The Kleyoker says, what's the connection between this and the Omer that we just read about? So he says like this. He quotes a Medrash that says, Hashem surrounded the Jews, Hashem gave Jews the ability to do mitzvahs in anything they do. For instance, don't forget this was an agricultural country, yeah? He says, they plow the field. Hashem says, Leisachr shor chamer yachtav. You cannot plow with an ox and a donkey together. Hashem says, you want to plant? Don't plant kalayim. Don't plant a mixture of seeds. You coming to harvest? Leave the payah. So that was the Medrash says, what is Hashem doing over here? At every step of the road, anything a Jew does, Hashem gives him the ability to do a mitzvah.
He's mixing in our business.
He's mixing in our business. Now,
why is a chamor v'shor at the same time they cannot walk together? Why?
The simple reason, it's a chok. It's not logical. But the mafashim already discuss because shor and chamor have different types of midos, and it's torture for them. This is the mafashim say, it's torture for them to work together in the same harness. For shor and chamor, because they're very different types of animals. It's also shor is more of a, you know, a goring type of an animal. It has a lot of heat, so to speak. You know, it's in Yiddish there's an expression, hitzik yechevraman.
Hot-blooded,
yeah. It gores, it hurts, yeah? And the Gemara says, chamer, afilu betkufis tamuz kridali. The Gemara says, a chamer, even in Tammuz, when it's hot summer, is always cold. No, it's so a shard is hot-blooded, and a chamer is cold-blooded. You can't put them together. It doesn't work. Even though opposites attract, by the way. That's a good marriage, but not with animals. But
say, shor is Yosef, and chamer is Issachar.
Yeah, no.
Which is also, they're not one,
but
one
they,
king and a ruler.
What is it, a cow, or what is it?
An ox. A bull, a cow. I mean, a shor is a male cow. No, you cannot plow a field together with an ox and a... No, shor and chamor. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
The not mixing is for any two kinds, not just those two, but any.
We're not learning that pasuk in Mishpatim. We learned that already. Go back into your notes. Yeah. Rashi over there says, huh? I don't know. I have to look at my notes. Rashi says, 1 second.
I thought it was only food.
Something else. Not plow using animals.
You have it?
I don't think that's a memory. It's a memory, right? Where is that? Is that a key? No, 1 second. It may not even be. What I don't want to do is waste time on it. No, that's it. Oh, I know why. We didn't learn it yet. It's in Kisei. 1 second. Now I realize it's, let me look in Kisei. Here. It's a Kisei. I'm sorry. That's why nobody knows it. Okay? You'll get a good grade on your report card. Le'isachrish b'shar v'chamer yachtov. Rashi says, Hu adin l'chol shnei minim sheba'ilim. The same thing applies to any two. Not even toxic dog into plowing, any coupling of any two different types of species for any kind of work. Rashi said, Rashi doesn't, but the reason it says, why does the Torah pick Shur and Chamer? Because that was the common way of doing it. Thank you. You know, it says also, while we're off the topic, you know, wool and linen, yeah? Shatness. So everybody knows that is the one of the ultimate chayk. You know, wool is allowed and linen is allowed. You mix them together. It's like meat and milk. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But the Mefarshim was a Rabbeinu Bachai, I think. One of them, I saw, it says a very beautiful reason. Because that was the problem with Cain and Hevel. Mm-hmm. Cain brought from linen, Rashi says. Mipri o Adama, Rashi says Pishtan. It was linen. And Hevel. But from the tzayin or mechel behen, from the wool of the sheep. Right. So he brought wool, he brought linen. Look what happened. A guy killed a quarter of the world's population. So the Torah says, no wool and linen together. But officially it's a chayk. I mean, that's the whatever. Okay, so it says like, Kutzvachem is ksirat chamli, Lani v'laget ha'zeveisam, you should leave it for the poor and the ged. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am God, your God. Now, there's an interesting story Mamleyes brings down. He says like this, there was a certain Rav that every year before Pesach would give out flour for the people to make matzahs and have food. There was a very great learned scholar, was very humble, modest, great chassid, and the rabbi forgot to give him the money. This was in Yerushalayim, he made kedem, he says. So, came Pesach, the guy had nothing to eat. So his kids said to him, hey, go ask for money. I mean, the rabbi didn't give you, but he's giving everybody. Why don't you go get for yourself? Anyway, so he cried out to Hashem, and he said, listen, I'm very poor, please help me out. So, his prayers went up to Hashem. But because of that, Hashem, there was a kitrug on the whole city. Why did they forget to give this holy man food for Pesach? So in heaven became an accusation against the city. So Eliyahu HaNavi got up and davened. He said, Rebbeinu Shalom, what do you want? You don't blame the city. He's such a humble guy. People don't even know he exists, let alone that he's a great man. You know what? I will take care of the poor man and don't do anything to the city. So Eliyahu HaNavi came down. And he says like this, Eliyahu HaNavi gave him shalom, the poor man gave him back shalom. Eliyahu HaNavi says, you know, I'm a guest here in the city, I need a place to stay for Pesach, but I have money I'm willing to pay for my meals. So the chassid said, oh, no problem, you can come to us, I have no money, but now that you'll give us money, we'll have what to eat. He said, Baruch Hashem, come. So he says to Eliyahu HaNavi, what's your name? So Eliyahu HaNavi said, Shmihu Rabbi Nissim HaMitzri. My name is Rabbi Nissim HaMitzri. Take the money, he said, Eliyahu HaNavi said to him, and go prepare for Yom Tov. So the chassid took the money, he told his wife what happened, and he told his wife, the guy looks like a very holy man, when he comes, make sure you give him a lot of respect. He bought everything he needed for Pesach, and then he went to look for the poor man to bring him to the Seder. He couldn't find them. So he asked everybody, did you see a guy by the name of Rabbi Nissim HaMitzri? So he said, no, we never saw such a guy. So he came home and he said, now I understand that must have been Eliyahu HaNavi. And he called his name Rabbi Nissim HaMitzri because he did miracle. So he made the, he had enough money from what Eliyahu HaNavi gave him to live the rest of his life. That night of the Pesach, he says, a malach came to the rabbi of the city in his dream, and he wanted him to kill him. He said, how did you forget about this man? A little bit longer, the whole city would have been wiped up because of you. So, in that morning, the Rav woke up, he called in the chassid, and he said to him, I beg forgiveness. And from that time on, the rabbi made sure to give every person in the city, to make sure that every single person got. So this is what it says over here about the, he brings it about the, this pasuk, about the middle of the holidays. What?
I have a question, where it says to give to the poor and the ger.
Yeah.
So, give to the ger even if the ger is already wealthy, or only if the ger is poor? Like, I mean...
As a rule, again, why as a rule, yeah. The Jews had were an agricultural nation. The ger did not belong to any tribe.
Right.
Therefore, he didn't own land. What did he do? Stock market? Mm-hmm. Real estate? What did he do? No, I'm saying so that's, they made their living from agriculture. So as a rule, a ger was poor. I mean, that's just the normal, obviously if the ger is a billionaire, you don't have to give him more schitim.
So it's implied a ger because the ger was...
As a rule, he said, ger, because as a rule, like I said, he didn't own any land, he didn't belong to any tribe, and therefore he was poor. Levium also poor because they had no land, they didn't own land in Eretz, so on and so on.
So where did they live?
Who?
The gerim or the levium?
They lived in a place and they tried working for people, whatever, but as a rule, they weren't landowners that had wealth.
Right.
Yeah. When they speak also, when they speak of a ger, they're speaking only of the men, or the men and the women, because if a woman is a ger and she's married to a Jew, Ruth story, yeah, so then she has, yeah, she got married to Boaz, very wealthy, that's it, okay, speak to the yid like this, in the seventh month Be'echad l'chaydish, on the first day of the month, meaning the first day of Tishrei, Yielachem Shabbosim will be a day of rest, Zichrein Trua Mikro Kedish, will be a remembrance with Shofar blowing. Okay? Now, why is it a remembrance? Because when we blow Shofar, you know, like we have the three things, Malchias, Zichreinus, and Shofaris. And it says that blow, say Pesukim of Malchus, kingdom that I should rule over you, and blow shofar that I should remember your things coming before me. And how is this done by shofar? Number one, the Mefarshim explain that zichrein trua, we find a contradiction between psukim. One pasuk says yom trua yelachem, you have to blow shofar. Another pasuk, this one says zichrein trua, a remembrance of blowing. That you don't blow. So this is one of the hints in the Torah that on Shabbos you don't blow. Sometimes you actually blow. Sometimes only zichrin through a remembrance of blowing, which is true. But the Mefarshim also discuss over here, what does this mean? Zichrin trua. Okay? It says like this. The Mefarshim discuss, why in the world does Hashem need to remember? Since when does Hashem forget? I mean, simply zichrin means that I shetalu zichneinechem lefanei l'tayvah, that I should remember you. What do we tell in the Shemoneh Esrei? God, remember, remember, remember. Since when does God forget? Why does Hashem need to be reminded, so to speak, of the shofar, or through the shofar? Okay? So, the Mefarshim explain that it's not God forbid in a way that God forgets. When we remember, we discussed this many times, God doesn't need our praise, right? When we praise Hashem, and Hashem sees that we're aware that He's the one that does it, then He gives it to us. It's not that He needs our praise. When Hashem sees that we're asking Hashem to remember us, the good of Yitzchak with the Akedah, the, you know, the self-sacrifice He had and all that, that's when Hashem will remember us. So the remembrance is not chas v'shalom that God needs to be reminded that he forgets, and without that it's not going to happen. Hashem doesn't need to be reminded. Hashem needs for us to remember that that's what's going on. In fact, here. So he brings down from the various different mefarshim that explain, not God forbid in any way that Hashem forgets, it's for us to remember that Hashem remembers. Again, it's for us, it's not so much for Hashem. Now, the seventh month, and this is the first time we're learning in Chumash about the Chodesh HaShvi that the Torah is speaking about. Shvi is called the seventh month. Okay? Shvi has two other meanings to it. Shvi comes to the word shvua, which means an oath. And shvi also means, like we say in benching, v'chalto, v'savato, u'berachto. You'll eat, you'll be full, and you'll say benching. So the Hebrew root, shin beis ayin, okay, shin beis ayin, is the root of three different words. Sheva, seven. Seveya, full. And the third one is the oath, shvua. Okay? The Medrash says, why is it called Chodesh HaShvi? Okay, it's the seventh month. But why is it emphasizing it's the seventh month? Because this is the month, this is a Medrash. The Medrash says it's a month which is full. It's Seveya. You have Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeres, and Simchas Torah. It's a full month. It's full. Another interpretation of Sheva in the word of Seveya means it's a month that fills you up with power for the year. And the analogy which is given, Chassidus gives an analogy, it's like when a peddler goes to the wholesaler, to the market. What does he do? He goes to the market, he loads up all the goods, he fills himself up with goods, and then he goes back to his city, and he unloads the goods. Right? That's how he makes a living. What happens in Chodesh HaShvi? The Jew loads up Kedusha. And the Kedusha of Chodesh HaShvi is in two opposite extremes. You have Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur style, seriousness and tshuva and crying and all that. And then you have Sukkot, Shemini Atzeres Simchas Torah, Zman Simchaseinu, a completely different level. So the Jew in the month of Shvi, in the seventh month, fills themselves up and satisfies them with an ultimate level of Kedushim. This is also connected to the level of Shvi 7, because the Gemara says, Kol HaShvi in Chaviven. All seven are dear. And the Medrash is a Medrash. The Medrash says like this. 7 days of the week, Shabbos. Seventh month, Tishrei. Seventh year, Shemitah. Seventh Shemitah, Yovel. And the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu, the seventh. Moshe Rabbeinu is the seventh from Avram Avinu. Right? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Kohos, Amram, Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah in Har Sinai. So the number seven is a very holy number. It's filling number. It's oath number. And so on. But it's an interesting thing. There's a Gemara. Whoever learns the first page of Tanya knows it because it's the opening quote from a Gemara of Tanya. Tanya begins with Tanya B'Sefik, Perek Gimel Danida, Mashbi and Eisei, and by the way, this is connected to Chodesh HaShvi. Mashbi and Eisei, simply the Gemara says, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says, before Neshama comes into the world, the Neshama is given an oath. What's the oath? Mashbi and Eisei. Tehi tzaddik, v'al tehi rasha. Be a tzaddik, and don't be a rasha. That's what the oath is. So, Chassidus asks, that doesn't make sense. Who's getting the neshama? Who's getting the oath? The neshama? The neshama is a part of God. Chelek alokam imal. The neshama doesn't need a shvur to hitadik valti rasha.
The nefesh.
So the answer is the goof. The body, it's not going to help. You're giving the body an oath to hitadik? The body doesn't want to be good. The neshama has to dominate the body. So Chassidus explains, mashbien doesn't mean shvur. I mean, that's the simple meaning. Don't read it mashbien, read it masbien, I say. Masbien means surveya. That before a neshama is about to come into the body, the Gemara says, masbien, I say. We fill up the neshama. We give it the gasoline, you know, the energy. That the he tzaddik, that he could be a tzaddik and not a rasha. That he could dominate the body. Because just to give the shvur to the tzaddik, to the neshama, what does that help to control the body? So Chassidus explained, what does the oath mean? The oath means that masbiyin, that we fill up the neshama with the ability that the he tzaddik valti rasha. What does Chedesh HaShvi do? Chedesh HaShvi, the Midrashim tell us, gives the Jew the power and the energy and the Kedusha to go for the whole year. Yeah?
Sorry to digress.
What else is new?
In Tanya, doesn't it mean be a tzaddik, mean that the Shem of a tzaddik is already determined, therefore?
No.
Well, wait, let me finish my sentence.
We're not learning Tanya now.
Yeah, but it says from culture that a man is created tzaddik.
What?
A gift from God.
No, it's not. And then he says, v'tzaddik v'rosh lo yikamer.
Okay. So explain to us what it means.
Come to the Tanya class.
B'chedesh
HaShvi. What?
And that's what they
said. Shabbos morning we have a Tanya class here. B'chedesh HaShvi, b'echad l'chedesh, and the seventh month, and the first day of the month, yeah. Yelachem Shabbosin.
It's a show.
Zichron Trum Mikra Kedesh. It's a holy day. Also, just interesting, we call the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, which is also explained another interesting thing. In Hebrew, it shouldn't be called Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Chodesh should not be called Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year. Rosh Chodesh means the head of the month. In Hebrew, it should be called Tchilas Hashana and Tchilas HaChodesh. Okay? If you think about it, the first day of the year, Rosh Hashanah, which is the first day of the year, should be called Tchilas Hashana, the beginning of the year. Why is it called the head of the year? So again, the explanation is, because in the day of Rosh Hashanah, in the day of Rosh Chodesh, just like the head has within it the entire nerve center of the entire body, the head includes in it the entire body. Rosh Hashanah includes in it every day of the year. And Rosh Chodesh includes in it every day of the month. And therefore it's called Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah, not Chilas Hashanah, Tchilas HaChodesh. You're not allowed to do any work. Okay? V'kraftem isha l'Hashem, you need to bring a korban to Hashem, meaning an additional korban, which is why we have Musaf and Rosh Hashanah. So basically Rosh Hashanah is, again, this concept of Shofar. Now to discuss a little bit, we said before there's Zichrin Teruah and Yom Teruah, right? So during the week, we blow Shofar. This year, like Shabbos was, Rosh Hashanah first day was Shabbos, we don't blow Shofar. Okay. Now, biblically, Rosh Hashanah is one day, right? Biblically, this that they keep in Israel 2 days is the second day rabbinic, okay? Even though all the other chagim they don't, but Rosh Hashanah they do. And secondly, biblically, you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, even if it falls out on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Yom Tov Shor Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Tov Shor Rosh Hashanah, Shecholi is B'Shabbos, B'Migdash Shoyutekin, Avalei B'Medina.
My question was, if the Beit HaMikdash, they took in the Shofar.
The Mishnah says, "B'migdash hayu taikin, avalei b'medina." What does Medina mean? Outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Even though there were places where it had a bezdin kavua, they blew shofar on Shabbos. So, for instance, the Rif, the Rebbe of the Rambam, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Alfasi, he paskened that he had a bezdin, and in his bezdin they blew shofar on Shabbos. But the Gemara says like this: why don't you blow shofar on Shabbos? Why don't you blow shofar on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, "Gzeira de Rabba." Rabba made a decree. What was the decree of Rabba? Hakol chayavim betkiyah shofar. Everybody's obligated to blow shofar. Vein hakol bekiyim betkiyah shofar, and not everybody is an expert. How to blow in the laws? We're afraid a person, Amoritz, will take the shofar, v'shema yavirenu arba ames b'shusarabim, and he might come to carry on Shabbos. Okay? That means, biblically, there's no such thing. Shofar, Shabbos, weekday, Rosh Hashanah, you blow shofar. Chachamim came, and they said, no. We're afraid you're going to have an illiterate who won't know the laws, and he'll come to carry on Shabbos, and he'll come desecrating Shabbos. So the Chachamim said, no blow. No blowing on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, how could the Chachamim uproot a Torah law? Torah says blow, and the Chachamim say no. Okay? How can they do such a thing? So the Gemara answers, Yesh kayach biyat Chachamim lakir dovim min atayra b'sheva al taisa. Which means, Chachamim were given biblical authority to say not to do a positive mitzvah. If you think about it, the same question is Sukkis. Sukkis, there's a mitzvah to take lulav and esrog. Biblically, it's only one day. Okay? So what happens when Sukkis falls out on Shabbos? Biblically, you have to take the mitzvah lulav and esrog. Chachamim said no, Rabbi said no. That's the reason why Megillah, you don't read on Shabbos. That's why you don't blow shofar on Shabbos. You don't bench lulav on Shabbos. Why? Because a bunch of illiterates might come and take it. How did a Chachamim have the ability to do such a thing? So the Gemara says, the Chachamim were given biblical authority to tell you, don't do a positive mitzvah. They cannot tell you, eat chazer. They cannot, they do not have the authority to tell you to transgress something negative. And it's a very simple difference, even this logic. Not to do something is passive. You're not actually sinning. You're just not doing something the Torah told you to do. When you transgress a negative commandment, you're actively going against the Torah. That the Chachamim don't have the authority to do. Okay, that answers the simple concept of why we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Comes along Chassidus and asks a very simple question. Shofar is holy. Shofar is the concept of tshuva. Shofar is the concept of tainug, you know, the highest level of pleasure it causes by Hashem. You know, shofar is such a holy thing because of a bunch of literates who might carry. We take away the mitzvah of shofar from the holy of the holies. How can you do such a thing? How can the Torah do? I mean, it does not. How could they? How could they have the ability? They have the biblical authority to do it. The Torah says blow shofar. They have the ability to say don't blow shofar. But why in the world would the Chachamim take away such a holy mitzvah of shofar because of a few illiterates? So the answer is that Shabbos itself accomplishes what shofar does. And therefore, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you really don't need shofar that much. And therefore, because of the fear that illiterates might carry it, we take it away. But the concept of shofar you're not losing. Why? Because Shabbos itself accomplishes what Shefer does. Why? Look at the word Shabbos. Switch around the letters. You have the word Toshev. Shabbos is the same letters as Toshev. Tshuva. Right? V'karasa la Shabbos einig, the Pasuk says. Shabbos is a level of einig. Which, by the way, is not for now. But, you know, Yom Tif is Simcha. V'samachta bechagecha. Shabbos is not the level of Simcha. Shabbos is the level of what's called, as you say in davening, Karasa la Shabbos einig. Einig is pleasure. There's a big difference between pleasure and Simcha, but it's not for now. So therefore, Shabbos itself is a level of tshuva. Shabbos itself is a level of einig, of enjoyment, of pleasure. Therefore, the truth is, on Shabbos, you only need zichring teruah. Because Shabbos itself accomplishes whatever Shefer does. So now the question is, what you asked, so why did they blow on the Beis HaMikdash? Right? If Shabbos accomplishes what Shefer does, so why did they need to blow on the Beis HaMikdash? Because there's different levels of Shefer, and there's different levels of Shabbos, and there's different levels of this. So by the masses, Shabbos accomplished what Shefer did. The Shefer and the Beis HaMikdash was even higher than Shabbos. So therefore, they in the Beis HaMikdash needed to blow. No. Shabbos is a sign. Tefillin is a sign. Not Shefer. No. The reason we don't put on Tefillin on Shabbos, even though the Torah doesn't say don't wear Tefillin on Shabbos, but why don't we wear Tefillin on Shabbos? Because Tefillin, it says, V'ha'ya l'cha l'os al yadcha, should be a sign. Right? But Shabbos, it says, Ki eisi b'ni v'im b'nei Yisrael. Shabbos is also an eis. So if you have the ice of Shabbos, you don't need the ice of Tefillin. That's why we don't wear Tefillin on Shabbos. I mean, women never wear it. They're so holy, they're Shabbos the whole week. But the low people, the men, you know, they would need Tefillin, but... Huh? Right. Okay. That is Rosh Hashanah. V'edavar Hashem o'meisha leimah, Hashem said to Meisha, saying... He now starts the concept of Yom Kippur. Okay? Ach! What?
No, sorry.
She's disturbing you again. Ach! Ach, but what? No, that's not what you heard. What you heard is that a tzaddik is born with the ability to be a tzaddik.
No.
Okay. Why'd you learn Tanya? Let me tell you something. They never said it. Listen to me. There's a story. Hello, listen to me. The great Rav Chaim Brisker, Chaim Soloveitchik, yeah, was once told over, somebody said to him something that Tosfos in the Gemara said. So he said, there's no such Tosfos. Even though he knew everything by heart, he said, don't think that I know every Tosfos, that's why I said Tosfos didn't say it. But he said, something so stupid, Tosfos couldn't have said. I'm telling you, they couldn't have said it because it's wrong. And Tanya says it's the opposite.
He said that it's like a house heated all the time, and that's how tzaddik comes to this world. He doesn't have to heat like the one who's benoni and one because
that doesn't mean every Jew is born a tzaddik.
I didn't say every Jew.
Okay. Vayidaber Hashem omer ach be'osel achet ach bat. At the 10th day of this 7th month, Yemakipurimu is the day of Yom Kippur. Mikrokedesh Yalochem, it again should be a day of holy convocation, you should call it holy. You have to afflict yourselves. You have to bring a korban to Hashem. Now, simply, why does it say ach? Okay, so Rashi says, ach is a, in Torah is a, it was called a miut, and it's a limitation. It says, when, who does Yom Kippur, Rashi says, who does Yom Kippur forgive for? Only for those that do tshuva. He speaks about Yom Kippur, the day of tshuva, the day of forgiveness. So it says, ach, but, meaning it's limited. If you do tshuva, Yom Kippur will forgive you. If you don't do tshuva, Yom Kippur is not going to forgive you. Even though in the Gemara there's a machlekes between Rabbi and the Chachamim, if it's tumah shayyeh mechaper, but Rashi quotes the opinion that only if you do tshuva you're forgiven, if not, you don't get forgiven. Okay, now, what's unique about this concept of Yom Kippur? So it says like this. Number one, that was the day, the first time, so to speak, the first Yom Kippur of any importance was when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai the third time after 40 days. Right? He went up 40 days, right after the Torah was given. He went up for 40 days, came down 17th of Tammuz, they were making the golden calf. Right? He went up again the 18th of Tammuz until Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, another 40 days. Hashem was still angry, no forgiveness. He went up again Rosh Chodesh Elul for a third 40 days, came down on Yom Kippur. That's when Hashem said, Solachti Kidvaracha, I forgive you for all your sins. Okay, that's, so Yom Kippur, the initial Yom Kippur was the initial day of forgiveness that Hashem forgave the Jewish, the people for worshipping the golden calf. Therefore, every Yom Kippur became the day of forgiveness. Okay? Just parenthetically, in the Arizal says like this, Yom Kippurim, Yom Kippur is called Yom Kippurim, like we just read, right? Yom Kippurim. The Arizal says, Yom Kippurim is Kippurim. Kippurim, meaning Yom Kippur is like Purim, which means Purim is even greater than Yom Kippur. It's only, Yom Kippurim is only Kippurim. It's only like Purim, but Purim is even holier than Yom Kippur. And it's explained, there's a lot of similarities between Yom Kippur and Purim. Number one, we got the second Luchis, the second set of tablets on Yom Kippur. On Purim, the Jew says, Kimu Mashikiblu Kvar, they willingly reaccepted the Torah. Because the Gemara says, when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jews on Matan Torah, we learned he held the mountain over their heads, right, and said, either accept it or else. So the Gemara says, Mikan Meidor Rabbala Raisa, we were forced. Right? We're forced to accept it. So it says, Hoder Kiblu Bimei Achashverosh. In the days of Achashverosh, Purim, Kimu Vekiblu, the Jews willingly reaccepted the Torah. So, Luchos Shniyos came down on Yom Kippur. Purim, the Jews willingly accepted the Torah. Yom Kippur were lottery. Which goat went Lazazel, which goat went, like we learned before, Nachrimes. Purim, why did he call Purim? Because Haman cast Purim. Purim means lottery. Hippo, Purho, Agurdle. Haman cast lotteries. Purim is one day, like Yom Kippur is one day. Purim is a level of Adelo Yoda. You have to be drunk, right? That means the Simcha of Purim, unlike Yom Tov, even though it says V'samachta b'chagecha, yet it says Bezdin would send out agents to make sure people were not overly drunk. Purim is Adolo Yada. Technically, you're supposed to be out of limitations. Yom Kippur is out of limitations to be discussed, Mitzvashem, and Purim is out of limitations. So Purim and Yom Kippurim are very much connected. That is all right. The truth of the matter is that Purim is even a higher level than Yom Kippurim. That's why it's only called Kippurim. But it's Purim is even higher. And in Mitzvah Shem, Next time, it will be discussed at greater length. But anyway, the Torah says like this. You need to torture yourself. Now, this is an addition to not eating and drinking that the Torah says clearly. But there's other inisim es nafshi seichem, afflicting yourself. Like we know, you can't wash. There's no marital relations. You can't wear shoes. You know, all those things that the Torah is speaking about affliction. Eating, the Torah is not speaking about here. I mean, even though it's included in that, but the Torah is not actually discussing it as one of the... Because by eating, the Torah says if you eat on Yom Kippur, you get karis. The other things you don't get karis for. But it's forbidden. Part of inisim es nafshi seichem. But anyway, there's a... Okay, it's late, but it's... But next time... Now, the question is like this...